Hello and welcome to OU's Nach Yomi. You can find this year posted at ouradio.org/nach or on my website, ericlevy.com, under the recording section.
Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy, and I am pleased to bring to you Tehillim Mem Dalet. Mamnatseach Livnei Korach Maskil. For the maestro, a maskil, perhaps meaning a prayer for teaching, by the Korachites. Similar to Psalm 40, Tehila Mem, Psalm 44, Mem Dalet, comes in two parts. The two parts are even delineated here very clearly, not only in mood, but by the word Sela, which comes at the end of verse 9. However, where in Psalm 40, it was never completely clear whether the psalm was a lament with a long thanksgiving as an introduction, or whether it was a thanksgiving with a long description of the troubles that the author was saved from. Here in Psalm 44, in Mem Dalet, we have undoubtedly a lament. But this lament differs from others that I have spoken about since beginning teaching at Psalm 31. This is a national lament. It is not an individual who is suffering, but the nation as a whole. Sometimes the psalm speaks in plural, as you would expect from a national lament, and sometimes in singular. But it is quite clear that when the singular person is speaking, it is the king who is speaking, and he is speaking for his nation. National laments almost always have a specific and distinctive formal element, which is what the first 9 verses of our psalm, that first part of our psalm, really are. And that formal element is a recollection of prior national success. We remember how good you were, God, to us in the past. We remember how well and successful we were. This idea of nation on the ropes is recalling past victories and salvations is found not only in biblical poetry, but in biblical stories as well. In the book of Judges, chapter 6, Gideon, whose people are suffering under a scorched earth policy of the Midianites, is visited by an angel who promises that God will be with him in military success. Gideon then asks, Bi Adoni, v'yesh Adonai imanu v'lama mitza'atnu kol zot, v'yekol niflotav, asher sipru lanu avoteinu, le'mor halom mitzrayim helanu Adonai v'atana tatn tashanu Adonai v'yitenenu b'chaf minyan. Please, my master, if the Lord is truly with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all of his wonders that our fathers have told us about, saying, is it not true that the Lord took us out of Egypt? And now God has abandoned us and has given us over into the hands of the Midianites. Here too, the nation and its leader recall God's power of the Exodus, or more particularly of Joshua's conquest, as a prelude to complaining about their current predicament and then begging God to re-engage with them so that they may be victorious. Our psalmist is clear that the nation has done nothing wrong. There is no admission of guilt in this psalm. There is no admission of sin. In fact, quite the opposite. The force of the argument is that even in their troubled times, the people as a nation have never abandoned their belief and faith in the Almighty, and as such deserve some deliverance. Elohim be'ozneinu shamanu avoteinu sipru lanu. Poal pa'alta v'imehem b'imei kedem. O God, we have heard with our own ears. Our fathers have told us that you have worked great works in their days, in the days of yore. Ata yadcha goyim horashta v'atita'em tarei le'omim v'atishalachem. It was you, with your own hand, that you conquered the enemies and planted them, i.e. you planted our fathers in the land of Canaan, in the land of Israel. You brought misfortune to those nations, you cast them out. This is clearly referring to Joshua's conquest of Israel. Note, by the way, that the pronouns are a bit difficult. Vatita'im, and you planted them, has to be referring to the Israeli nation and not the nearest antecedent of that pronoun, which is the nations living in Canaan who were conquered, since obviously they were not planted anywhere except maybe outside. What's important to notice here, and it will be stressed again and again, is that the people clearly recognize that victory came by God's hand and not by their own hand. That's why at the beginning of the sentence, there's the extra ata yadcha goyim harashta. It was you, with your hand, you conquered them. Kilo v'charbam yarashu aretz uzroam lo hoshia lamo. Ki yimincha uzroacha v'or panecha ki ritzitam. Indeed, it was not with their swords that they conquered the land. It was not their strength, literally their arm, that saved them. Rather, it was your right hand, your strength, again, literally your arm, and the light of your countenance. It was because you desire them. And now the king speaks for his nation. Atahu Malki Elohim Save Yeshua Yaakov. It is you who are my king, O God, the one who commands salvations for Jacob. And now back to the national plural, or the king speaking about the we, the nation. Bechad Sarenu Ninageach Bishimcha Navus Kamenu. It is through you that we will gore our enemies. Through your name we will trample them before us. The image is very nice. It says God as the shepherd and we as his powerful flock. So at this point, it seems that the nation of Jacob, the nation of Israel, is about to depart for a war. Everything is okay so far, and they're about to go to war. And based on their prior relationship with God, they're confident of more of the same. But this is not the case. But in the meantime, we have more national recollection, and the king speaks again. Kilo v'kashti evtach v'charbi lo toshieni. Indeed, I will not put my faith in my bow, and my sword will not save me. And now the people join in. Ki hoshatanu mitzarenu umsaneinu hevi shota. Indeed, you have saved us from our enemies. You have put those who hate us to shame. And to sum up the nation's confidence and their religious dedication, that military success comes only through the hands of God. Be'lohim hilalnu kol hayom v'shimcha le'olam nodes sela. It is through God that we are able to give glory. It is your name that we will praise forever, sela. And if we ended here, this would be a great, perfect national Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, we do not end here, and the lament begins. And yet you have forsaken us and you caused us to be disgraced in that you do not go out to war with our army hosts. Notice that their belief that the military success and failure depends on God never wavers, but they are saying that God has abandoned them, and therefore they are falling in war. Teshivenu achor minitzar umsaneinu shasu lamo. You turn us in retreat before our enemies, and those who hate us plunder for themselves. Titenenu kitzon ma'achal uvagoyim zeiritanu. You have placed us like flocks to be eaten, and you have scattered us amongst the nations. Now, this reference to scattering us amongst the nations should not lead us to assume that Psalm 44 is post-exilic, that the temple has already fallen. No, the temple is clearly not fallen. The people are clearly not exiled as an entirety, and they clearly still have a king. But the Bible doesn't tell every detail of First Temple history. Nations fought there, people were scattered, even at times whole regions and whole towns, whole areas may be plundered and exiled, and even though the existence of the nation was not at an immediate existential risk, there was still plenty to lament over, and major battles could have been lost. While the Bible only tells us about things that God deems to be religious necessities for the generations, when we look at Psalms, the Psalms, by referring to other events not mentioned in the Bible, it gives us a more human-centric view, so that even when the king and nation is viable, there are still bad times where God's help is sorely missed. Timkor amcha v'lo hon v'lo ribita b'mchirei hem. You sold your nation for zero profit. You didn't even take interest, i.e. money, like the extra money that you get on the sale, on their price. Harsh, you say? Yes, very harsh towards God. And it will, in fact, get harsher. But note that the people still refer to themselves as your nation, amcha. Tesimenu cherpali shcheinenu laag vakeles lesvivotenu. You set us as a shame before our neighbors, a joke, an object of derision for those around us. Notice the string of you did this and you did that. Tesimenu timkor titinenu tishivenu. You did it to us. It's very personal and very faithful and very accusatory. And more is yet to come. Tesimenu mashal vagoyim menod rosh bal umim. You made us an object lesson among the nations. That is, oh, we don't want to be like them. A reason for head shaking among the peoples. And now again, again, the king speaks, representing his people, as he did when he was recalling the good times as well. Kol hayom klimati negdi uvoshet panai kisatni. Every day my disgrace is before me, my shamefacedness envelops me. Mikol mecharef umigadef mipnei oyev umitnakem. From the voice of the one who scorns and taunts, from before the vengeful enemy. And now, after this accusation against God and against their enemies, the point which has been percolating all along, sort of under the covers, is now stated openly and very strongly, that it's not fair. In light of their faithfulness to God, it is not fair that they are suffering so. Ki zot kol zot ba'atnu velo shechachanucha. Velo shikarnu bivritecha. All of these troubles have come to us, and yet we did not forget you. We have never been false to your covenant. Lo nasoga chor libenu vateit ashurenu mini orchecha. Even when we were being, retreating in war, neither of our hearts, our minds retreated from you, nor have our feet retreated from your path. Ki dikitanu bimkom tanim, Vatchas aleinu b'tzal mavet, when you crushed us into a place of jackals and you covered us in darkness. Now, I'm translating this verse based on natural disasters. So tanim, with a mem at the end, are often used in the Bible to indicate the ruins of cities, the creatures that walk through ruined cities. And salmavet, which is a word that famously appears in Psalm 23, gam ki elech b'geit salmavet, even though I walk through the valley of salmavet, can simply mean darkness. What about the word mavet at the end? So mavet may actually just be a long form for the word mut, which at the end of a noun indicates ness, an adjective like ness, like darkness. But it could be, in this pasuk, that the word tanim is more like tanin with a nun, which are the sea monsters that God crushes. And then the sense becomes a little more supernatural. When you crushed us instead of the sea creatures, and you covered us in the shadow of death, either way, when these calamities happen, whether they were viewed supernaturally or naturally, im shachachnu. Shame Eloheinu Vanifros Kapenu Leelzar. Did we forget the name of God, of our God, and did we spread our hands, i.e. in supplication, to a false God? The answer to this rhetorical question is obviously no. And in fact, it's not so much a rhetorical question as a vow, because the word im, which starts the sentence, im shachachnu, is very often used to start off vows. So the sense of the verse is, we swear that we never turned away from you, God. And now they refer to God as a third party rather than speaking to him directly, hoping that this third party, this judge, might be able to look objectively at the conflict between God and his people. Halo Elohim yachkor zot, ki hu yodea ta'alumot lev. Isn't it true that God, and here the word Elohim is important because it also means judges, that is, if God truly judges them in truth, he can investigate this, yachkor zot, since he knows the secrets. Ta'alumot lev, the secrets of the heart. So faith in God is a double-edged sword. Since if you firmly believe in God, firmly believe that all of victories come from God, then you also firmly believe that the disasters are from God as well. And this creates the following brutal honesty. Ki alecha horagnu chol hayom nechshavnu kitzon tivcha. Because it is on you that we have been killed every day, that we are regarded as sheep to the slaughter. And now, after this complaint against God, which is startling and personal, but they at the same time affirm their belief in him and only him, they now petition God for help. Again, with a directness, but it's a directness that perhaps one sees when people who really and truly love each other and have a true and real relationship can speak honestly with each other. Ura lama tishan Adonai, hakitza al tiznach la netzach. Wake up. Why are you sleeping, my Lord? Arise, don't forsake forever. Lama fanecha tastir tishkach onienu v'lachatzenu. Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our affliction and our oppression? And in these two lines, we have the key to the Jewish philosophy about how God operates in this world. When things are going well, then God is directly acting to create a positive outcome. But in times of disaster, what the Korachites, I should say, are saying here, is not that God is acting directly towards our disaster, but that he has hidden his face. He has removed himself from the scenario. And by doing so, that allows disasters to happen naturally. And now there seems to be a turnabout. In the last two lines, whereas before this, the prayer has been honest and direct, and the people say that they deserve salvation because of their own righteousness, now, in my opinion, they're eating some humble pie. And they are admitting that if God wants to save them, it will be because of his, God's grace. Now, you could read the following verses differently, and that they're saying, if you're a just God, you will do the right thing, just like they've been saying before. Because if you say, like I do, that they're about to eat humble pie, then you might question, well, what was all that we saw before? Maybe they're contradicting themselves. And the answer is, no, I don't think they're contradicting themselves. I think they believe they are righteous, and I think they believe that if God really wants to follow his covenant that they say they've never been false to, then he will come through to them. But nonetheless, there's still place for some humble pie. There is a realization that ultimately it is only because of God's will that people are saved. So why remember us? Because our souls have been laid low into the dust. Our bellies cling to the ground. Kuma ezrat alanu. Uvdenu lemana chastecha. Arise to our aid and rescue us for your own kindness. But what that means exactly, that God works for the sake of his own kindness, leman chastecha, what that means theologically and what it means philosophically is a much larger discussion.